Raise us up, down under. It's cricket, only better.
What an innings, what a player. Take a bow, Ben Stokes.
Brian Charles Lara becomes the first man in the history of the game to register a score of 400.
Six sixes in an over. Yuvraj Singh finishes things off in style.
England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Betfair Betting Podcast presents Cricket, Only Better.
Welcome back to Cricket, Only Better, episode 60. God, we're ratcheting these up, these episodes now. I'm Ed Hawkins. We're on a high because we're down under this week. Isn't that right, Sam Collins?
I can see what you've done there, Ed.
Yes.
We are indeed. Welcome, everybody. Previews of the first test between India and Australia from Adelaide. Also, the weekend's big bash action coming up. And Ed has got some more of his betting or Betfair mates along to help out with the previews. Jamie Pacheco and Paul Krishnamurti are here.
Cricket writers assemble, getting the band back together. Naturally, I'm the front man.
This is like a one-man accidental partridge effort. Anyway, let's just try and keep people listening, perhaps. So, Big Bash is underway, Ed. Let's talk about that. What's happening?
Power surge. The power surge, Sam Collins. I think we ridiculed it, didn't we, in our preview show 2 weeks ago. Just throwing up some interesting possible early trends, making games perhaps more competitive because sides can score runs more easily towards the death of an innings. And we've seen an interesting comeback by Sydney Thunder against... Who was it? It was today. We saw an interesting comeback by Sydney Thunder against Brisbane Heat. Now, we hate the Heat. Hate the Heat. And they've lost 2 out of 2, which is great to see. But Sydney Thunder were massively under the cosh in the chase there. But they were able to come back because they used a power surge and were rattling along at more than 10 and over. And it got them back into the game. So we can see the possibility of teams coming back from the dead. So just make a note of that. Be aware of that. When you see big odds in a chase which looks stiff, just remember they've got a power surge.
Okay. Remembered. Noted. So normally we do best bets at this stage, but if I remember rightly, all of our bets last week were long-term wagers. So I'm presuming we are unchanged on that. Ed, plus 8.61, is that right?
That's absolutely right.
Lovely stuff. And remind us, who is Mythbuster?
Mythbuster this week is Harbhajan Singh. It's Mythbuster, everybody's favourite time of the week. Harbhajan Singh, the Turbinator, to £10 level stakes. Would you have won money betting him during his ODI career for top India bowler? Odds of 4-1 from Stuart Conroy at Betfair Sportsbook. And are you happy with those odds to kick off with, Sam?
I mean, you know, what can I say? Why did we choose Harbhajan again? Did you have an anecdote?
No, we didn't have an anecdote. And we were perhaps going to make one up about Harbhajan. But obviously I've decided that would probably be immoral. And I have asked on Twitter today, at Cricket Betting, for any Harbhajan Singh anecdotes. But he's obviously a very sort of vanilla type of character and I've got nothing back whatsoever. Either that or no one's following me. But I'm sure it's the former.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, come on, give us the news, good or bad.
Well, it's bad news for Harbhajan. He did win in his second game against Australia in Sharjah in 1998. He was around that long.
Wow.
He had 28 wins, 16 dead heats with one teammate, 15 dead heats for 3, 4, 5, etc. And he's coming in at -304.60, meaning we're really struggling to find an ODI spinner who was a value bet to £10 level stakes. Where's he sitting on our charts?
Okay, well, it's the minuses is almost looking like a hall of fame for great spin bowlers. Warne -4.93, Swan -154, Ganguly -295, obviously not a spinner. Harbhajan -304, Tendulkar -1300, also not a spinner. Murali minus 14.35. So what are we going to do? Are we giving up on a spinner, or have we got someone we could pluck next week?
I think we should keep going on spinners, shouldn't we, until we actually nail someone who's going to win for us. I mean, I was going to suggest perhaps Anil Kumble as a wager check, but are we a bit India heavy considering we've done Ganguly, Harbhajan, Tendulkar? Do we need to start looking further afield?
Well, okay, let's think. We haven't had a South African, a decent South African spinner?
No. Well, there wasn't, was there? There wasn't a spinner in that decent South Africa side of in the 90s, that ODI team, was there? I can't recall one. Unless we're going to bracket Pat Simcox as a good spin bowler.
What about Pakistan? What about Mushi or Saklay Mushtaq?
Okay, yeah, let's go for one of those two. You call it now. The pressure's on you.
Saklay Mushtaq.
Saklay Mushtaq is next week's Mythbuster.
Australia versus India. Start of the four test series. Adelaide, Thursday, day-night test. Betfair exchange odds for this one, 1.84 Australia, 3 is India, 7.4 the draw. Paul Krishnamurti is here to help us preview this one. Welcome back, Paul, and thank you.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm excellent. Top of the league, Paul, top of the league. So very happy, at least until Wednesday night. Keen to get your views on the test, back to the main thing, but some team news first. Selection issues for those skinny favourites, Ed Hawkins. I'm going to come to you in a second as I read out these possible 11s. Australia is Harris Labuschagne, pronunciation on that one, probably not great. Smith, Head, Enriquez, Wade, Payne, Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon. India's Gill, Agarwal, Pujara, Kohli, Rahane, Vihari, Pant, Ashwin, Shami, Bumrah, Umesh.
Yeah, first thing you notice about that Australia team, it's a bit of a mess. They're going to have to open with Labuschagne and Harris or Joe Burns. And that's the big sort of conflict they're having at the moment, because Joe Burns is in absolutely terrible form. Across four innings in the warm-ups, he only managed 5 runs. And no David Warner, of course, no Will Pukowski, sadly, through injury, will probably play in the next game. So we're excited to see how he gets on. They're desperate to play the all-rounder Green, but probably can't because of concussion. Wade might even open. And Labuschagne is the latest one to be linked to that. So Australia sort of at sixes and sevens, really. They are depleted. But you then just think about their bowling lineup, which is absolutely at full strength. And that is where the challenge is going to come to for India here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a hell of a blow that Green took on the head. Really, really nasty. Before we discuss the pitch, Paul, aren't India, you know, do we see some value in India here? What is a gold?
That's supposed to be golf.
I'm not really convinced. I mean, I tend to think that those odds reflect Australia's issues with the team selection. Their record in day-night tests in Australia is outstanding, absolutely, completely dominant. And I think we're looking at a score, probably scores around 300 or just under. And in that case, I'd rather back the team with the more potent bowling attack. And I think those 3 Aussie seamers, particularly under lights, they could be devastating. India's last away series was to New Zealand, and they were consistently bowled out cheaply. So I think that might happen again.
Well, yeah, I was actually, I don't know if it's the last time India toured Australia, but I was there in 2012 and India were pathetic that tour. So anyway, don't know what that tells us.
I remember, nothing.
That was actually the scene of my famous Mahendra Singh Dhoni press conference question, which he didn't understand. So that was great. Anyway, Ed Hawkins, what does the day-night element do to this, to the odds, and do to our chances on this?
Well, a lot of people will probably think that pink ball and a match under lights is going to perhaps reduce the gulf between these sides, but there's actually no evidence of that. I think we even managed a whole show on this during lockdown. Can't remember which one it was, but basically we found out that there was not a huge advantage for the bowlers or reducing gaps between teams. There have been 14 day-night tests. Only two of those have been won by the away team, and both were by Sri Lanka. Six matches have been won by an innings. So the home bias in test match continues in pink ball day-night tests. 8 out of 14 have been won by the side batting first. In four day-nighters at Adelaide, however, the toss is 50-50. Runs are easier to come by in day-nighters. Adelaide, 3.2 runs per over as opposed to 2.86 over all tests over the last 5 years. So basically, I can't find any evidence that a pink ball or the lights are going to help us hang a bet on India here.
There we have it. Before we move on to the tops markets, Paul, a trading question. Any chance of a lay of the draw here? Gold standard of test match trading?
It is the gold match standard of test match trading, but I would say that as that fact has become known, the odds have drifted. And we're talking about 8.4 as a starting point. Now, I certainly wouldn't back the draw, but I think there are much better ways of getting against it. I mean, first of all, I'd just say that in a test match, I very rarely bet pre-match because in virtually every match you see, all three results are available at bigger in money at some point. So even though I'm talking up Australia, I'll probably look to bet them in money. Now, with the draw, those odds can collapse so easily with a good partnership, and it wouldn't take all that much for the 8.4 to shorten to 4 or 5 because the openers put on 50. Likewise, they often collapse, I believe, too much at the end of matches when a team, for example, can't chase down 500 and assume that they're going to be playing for the draw when, in fact, it's very, very hard to score on the final day and survive. So I would be looking to do it in running. And I'd add, I think there's a better way of doing this. So there are two markets. There's test match end and there's will the match go to day five. Right now, I think the stats of 4 out of 6 of the day nights in Australia were inside 4 days. I reckon that when that market comes liquid, will the match go at day five will be odds on, in which case it will be a good lay. And likewise, in running, that market and the day five evening band in test match end, final ones, they're really good lays in running sometimes because they often shorten, like the test match day five evening often goes much below the draw. So I'd rather get with that. And, you know, if at some point, if it was going, if it ever did look like going the distance, then at that point, the draw would be a runner anyway, right?
I like it. Good stuff, that. Get your note put out for that from Paul. Lovely.
Ed Hawkins, it says here you're now going to sort of spiel some names and numbers into the air.
Yeah, I'm just going to do my favourite thing. Yeah, just shout names and numbers. I won't shout all of them because we're obviously short on time, apart from the Australia top bowler market, because it's very, very competitive market, this one. Cummins, 12-5 with Betfair Sportsbook. That's 5% in our favour on win rate in the last 2 and a bit years, but he's got quite a lot to beat. Stark, 12-5 as well. That's 2% the wrong way for us. However, 42 wickets in 7 day-nighters, strike rate to 35. In first innings, that drops to 31. It's the best of anyone anywhere who's played 3 tests or more under lights. No one's taken more wickets in day-nighters than Mitchell Stark, so he's dangerous with the pink ball. Nathan Lyon also has a very good record, but that is in the second innings. Tellingly, he's 9-2, so that's about 18%, and we think it's about a 19% chance on the 2-year win rate. India top bowler, there's only one standout for us, it's Ravi Ashwin. Does he play or does Kuldeep play? Sportsbook go 4-1, which is 20%. We say he's got 33% chance. Nothing wrong with backing Ravi Ashwin there.
Oh, and are we lucky enough to get some names and numbers, some top batsmen?
Yeah, I can shout more names and numbers at you. Steve Smith, people are going to want to back him. He's 15-8 with Sportsbook, which is 34%, which is pretty much bang on how often he wins. Labuschagne, Sportsbook goes 7-2, which is 22%. We say he's 28%. So Labuschagne has got a good opportunity here. And I suppose if he's opening, well, let's get him in as early as we can. And finally, moving on to India, the big man, Kohli a rare opportunity to bet him at a wrong price. Sportsbook go 11-5, which is 31%. We say he's got a 40% chance on 2 years and a bit win rate. He dominates this market, and this is his only chance for runs in this series because he goes home after this test. But I think Paul's going to disagree with me, aren't you, Paul?
I'm not going to disagree with you because the stats don't lie. That is a good price for Kohli, but you're not going to convert me to backing a favourite in that market. And I think because there's quite a high chance of India being bowled out for less than 250, I would want to look for a big price middle order. So I'm going with Rishabh Pant at 11-1, straight off an unbeaten ton into Australia, right? You know, if it takes 50 to win that market, he can hit 50 in 20 minutes.
There we have it. I was going to ask you what your one bet on this game was, Paul, but isn't it?
I like that. But my one bet on this match is Australia. I'm going to try and back them at 2.2 in play.
Good. Okay. Nice bet. Excellent. But you're going to ask me what my best bet is for this one.
Go on, Ed. Go on. You're desperate to tell us.
Well, I don't think he's going to play, but you can get a 5-6 that Joe Burns scores 23.5 runs or fewer. And he's absolutely shot, apparently, according to Alan Border. He can't buy a run. So there's a bit of value there for a nice little winner, because I think he's gone at the game, as they say.
Okay, marvellous. Thank you very much, both. Thank you, Paul. Best bets coming up for the weekend's Big Bash games next. Big Bash time now. Two games to preview on Saturday and Sunday. Jamie Pacheco, part of the betting.betfair stable, is here to help us. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you very much, Sam. Nice to be here.
First up, Hobart Hurricanes versus Melbourne Renegades from Hobart, live on BT Sport. No odds yet, as the game's going on all the time, but Hobart expected to be short favourites after Renegades raised by the Sixers, bowled out for 60 after conceding 205. Does not get much worse than that. Jamie, how do we treat that early Renegades performance? Do we just write them off?
No, I don't think we should be writing them off at all. The first reason I say that is that they were really good in their first game. They were up against Scorchers, who were probably the second favourites with most betting companies behind the Stars, and they were really good in that game. So I think they had a terrible day at the office at the weekend in that one against the Sixers. But I also think it needs to be put into context. The Sixers scored, I think it was 205. I think the Renegades kind of quickly realised, after having lost a couple of early wickets, that they weren't going to get anywhere near that 205. And all credit to them, I actually think they tried to play for that bonus point. And they realised they were going to lose the game. They weren't going to get anywhere near that. But they thought, well, we could pick up an extra point here by being ahead of the halfway mark, and who knows what a difference that could make. Now, you look stupid when you're, you know, all out for 60 trying to do that, but I mean, I can't really fault them in terms of their approach. And, you know, that's the whole point about sort of introducing new rules like this one about the bonus points, is that, you know, teams actually realise that they may have to, you know, change their tactics, change their strategies. Yes, this time around, it makes them look like complete Muppets when you're all out for 60, but I don't know, they could have pulled it off. They would have at least got one point out of there.
Ed, coming to you for the Hobart Pitch Report, both games this weekend from the Bellerive Oval, so let's get the notepads out.
Yeah, highest score batting first is 212 at this ground. This is 5-year data, so that's 5 years, is including this year. There's been 66.6% of teams batting first bust 160. We've got an average score of batting first of 165.9. That is the joint first highest scoring ground in Big Bash. The other one is the Gabba. 15 teams won batting second, so we've got 55%. Toss bias for the chaser, and that's flipping the other way now. It's coming down. It was 66% not so long ago. Biggest chase, 194. Well, we know this ground really, really well, so we would expect this team batting first to go well with the bat and come into short favourites at the break. So there's a trading strategy there. If we've got Melbourne Renegades perhaps going off slight outsiders as we expect, we might be able to do a clever little trade on them going from 2.1 maybe into something like 1.6 with runs on the board. So something to bear in mind. And also bear in mind, first innings runs bets of maybe 170 or more, 180 or more, you might get some decent prices there.
Ed Hawkins, what does your database say about top batsmen, top bowlers?
Well, we've got two of the most reliable players involved in this one, Darcy Short and Aaron Finch, both high 30s on percentage win rates. If Finch, who's got 36.8% win rate, is 15 to 8 or better, it's a bet. Darcy Short has copped already, and he's probably playing as this goes into production. So we're going to swerve Darcy Short because we don't know what he's done, and we don't want to be on him to top score three times in four or something like that. So Aaron Finch is a bet at 15 to 8 or better. Josh Lala is likely to go off 7 to 2 top Renegades bowler. He's a great bet. He's got a 40% return rate before the tournament started, one shared honours and one loss so far. So Lala and Finch are decent value.
Okay. Jamie, anyone you fancy in those markets?
Yeah, well, I want to ask Ed if he's got top bat stats on Sean Marsh to hand. Because I've got a theory about Sean Marsh, and it's that Finch is 36.8 when he cops the top bat. He's played his whole Big Bash career in the Renegades, where he's had absolutely nothing to beat for years and years. Not that surprising to me that he wins as often as he does. And I'd like to contrast that with someone like Sean Marsh, who for years and years was playing for a scorcher's, you know, B top bat in the side as good as that. So his figures probably won't be as good as Finch, but for my money, he's just as good a big bash batsman as Finch is.
Finch, 41.1% before the tournament started, and Marsh, 26% before the tournament started. And Marsh obviously has one win already under his belt this season. So you pays your money and you takes your choice, I think.
Lovely stuff. Best bets still to come, everybody. But as for now, it's Sydney Sixers versus Adelaide Strikers on Sunday. Hobart, the venue again live on BT Sport. Ed, you were very down on Strikers in our preview show. Jamie, they lost their first game, playing the second as this pod goes into production. Ed, any thoughts?
I'm just looking at the top run scorers and top bowler markets, really. I mean, I'm keen on Sixers in this game if they can bat first, just so, because they'll get they'll be able to get a decent target on the board and can put pressure on that Strikers batting, which I think is flaky. Scoreboard pressure doing the work. And I've got a downer on Strikers, as you know. But just a couple of numbers to shout at you with names. Rashid Khan's got a 40% return rate on top bowler, so that's a 6-4 price. But he was going off 9-4. You know, I know people are going to want to back him, so those are the numbers there. It's not a bad bet at 9-4. But then Peter Siddle's got a 38% return rate. He'll go off around about 3-1. So again, it's another pays your money, takes your choice. Option on those. And top batsman Phil Salt was 7-2 for their game against Hobart. I don't expect that price to be around for long. I think Sportsbook have got some idea that he's not going to open the batting. I'd be amazed if he's not opening the batting. I know Alex Carey's coming back into contention, but you know, that price might not be around, but if it is, take it. Josh Philippe, strong favourite for Sixers, top bat, 13-5. You're not going to get much better than that. That seems about right on the door, on the data. Jordan Silk, best alternative at number 5. Very, very strong hitter in decent nick, and taking upwards of 11s, 12s, 13s, 14s is absolutely fine, because that gives us percentage points from 10 onwards.
Okay, lovely stuff. Anything there for you, Jamie?
Well, I can see where it's coming from with from Silk. I think he's probably going to bat at 5, and he's one of those players who, a bit like Tim David, who I mentioned before, he can score so quickly at the depth that, you know, you think he won't have enough balls to sort of catch up and beat whoever's ahead on runs. But, you know, when you can hit the ball as hard as he can, you just never know. So Silk could be an interesting one. What I did notice was that Dan Christian went off at a really big price, top bowler, actually, ahead of that first game with about 11s or 12s, and he actually won that. The wicketkeeper was admittedly at the death, but they all count. So I'll have an eye on Dan Christian's price to be top bowler.
It's best bets time, the standout wagers for those two Big Bash games. Jamie, best bet, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my man, Sean March, for top Renegades batsman at 3-1 or better, please.
Okay, lovely stuff. Ed Hawkins?
Josh Lyler at 7-2 for top Renegades bowler. He's got a 40% return rate before this tournament started, and he's bang on the money. Terrific value bet. So those are your two best bets. Sean Marsh, top Renegades batsman, and Josh Lala, top Renegades bowler. We're cheering on the Renegades this week, Sam. Go and get a red jumper on or something.
Oh, done.
That's your lot for Cricket Only Better this week. Join us next week for more Big Bash and best bets. And don't forget to follow betting.betfair every day for those Big Bash previews. Next week's show is our last before Christmas. Jingle, jingle.